Hi, this is Eric Casto, and I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this Oasis podcast. And, you know, we started part one on a series concerning miracles. And, of course, you know, we have been in a long series on heaven is a real place. And, of course, there's a lot of influence on that message from that series coming into this series. And so if you haven't heard the first episode, you need to go back, lay that foundation, because it's going to encourage you. You're going to really grab something, and it's going to just get in on the inside of you, and you're going to go, wow, something has happened in me, and your faith is going to be really encouraged. Now, let me open in a word of prayer, and let's get back into miracles. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we're not praying here, but we're coming into heaven to pray. We're coming before the throne of God. We're coming to where mercy and grace are. And we're asking for an anointing upon these teachings, God, so that we can walk in miracles in the power of Almighty God. Father, we expect mountains to melt like wax because of the presence of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, our keynote scripture that we started with was Psalm 63. And we talked about David. You know, here's David. He's a little bit of insight that he had an experience in heaven. Now, in Psalm 63, verse 2, he says, "To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen you in your sanctuary." And, you know, Paul over in 2 Corinthians, And he talks about an experience he had. And so in chapter 12, Paul says this. Now listen to this. Now think about David. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. He had an experience in heaven, in the sanctuary. And he came out talking about power. He came out of talking about the glory of God. Now remember, we're talking about miracles. So that power of God, that supernatural ability of God, is how miracles happen. And, you know, God, I don't know if God does miracles from his standpoint. They're miracles from our standpoint. I just think they're who he is. And, you know, when he begins to move in the earth, he's just moving. We call it miraculous. And that's fine, and because it is. But here is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. What he's saying is, when you're walking with the Lord, you should be growing in a revelation of him. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me and you obey my commands, I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to reveal myself, who I am, to you. And that's amazing. And he says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Oh, interesting. Three heavens. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up. Now, that word caught up is the word harpazo. It's an act of power. It's an act of force. Meaning this gentleman, which I believe was Paul, was here. And then by the power and the might of God, I mean the harpazo, this is not a gentle action. I mean, it was power that took him from down here and he was up into heaven. Whew, that's powerful. He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, not of myself, I will not glory, but only in my own infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. Now, this is the dilemma. I definitely believe this was Paul. He's like David. He got, by a harpazo act of God's power. Now, we're talking about power and miracles here. That power took him up into the throne room. To the point, he didn't know whether he was there physically or having a vision or what it was. but he's having this experience with the Lord. And he's talking about this, but he's putting it out there in the third person because he wants us to have this truth. But at the same time, he doesn't want anyone looking at him. And that's a lot of humility. And he also understood the constant warfare he was under. Why? Because of this revelation that he was walking under. And you sit back and you think, even Peter said, man, when I read what Paul writes, it's hard for me to grasp. And meaning, it's just amazing revelation. Well, how did he get it? Well, Paul was seeking God. But I believe that Paul was caught up into the third heaven, like he said, and there was a lot of revelation imparted into him for the New Testament, primarily for the Gentile church. Remember that. And so, you know, when you get into this, now let me just pause here. When you get into this, Paul was just an amazing guy. And when you look at, let's say, the gift of faith in his life, and it's very important that we just pause. I'm just gonna take a little shift here, and we're gonna look at something about Paul that's important. Now, in the School of Acts book that I wrote, we talk about the gift of faith, and so though we're focused on miracles, we're going to go in and out of some of these power gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so let's just pause and look at Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And so Paul says, the Bible says, when they were come down, they had gathered the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now here we see the operation of God's faith. And it's not necessarily the working of miracles or the gifts of healings, but it's an operation of God's faith that's opened up a new door. Now, Jesus had talked about that. He said, the laborers are few, but pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, the word send forth is the word ekbalo. Now, we talked about the word ek in the earlier episode, and it means to come forth out of, to the source, and it comes out of the source. So this ekbalo is this thrusting forth of God's power, and Jesus says, come and pray that there would be this thrusting from one place into another place. And that's what Paul is saying. He's coming back and he's telling the church that God's faith came down and this whole door opened up. He didn't do it. God did it. And this door opened up and they were on one side of the fence and then they found themselves in a whole new field of God. And it's the Gentiles. And, you know, if maybe I could paint the picture a little differently, I grew up as a farmer. And so, you hook up a big piece of equipment to the tractor and you leave the barn, you're going down the driveway, or maybe you have to get on the road, and the tractors, you know, they can go pretty fast, and, you know, you're buzzing down and then finally you get to the field, but the field has a fence. So you get off and you have to open the gate, but you don't just, a lot of times you just can't drive a tractor with certain equipment just really quick through a gate. You have to go a little bit slow. You have to be a little bit cautious because the gate's narrow. And so, you know, here you're going from the road and now you're going to go into the field, but there's a gate and you have to get through the gate. Well, Jesus is saying, pray the Lord of the harvest because my power is going to thrust the tractor and the equipment and the farmer from over here on the road where he's not using his equipment. The road is simply transport. No, we got to get into the field where the equipment's going to be used. And that's where he says, pray the Lord of harvest to thrust. And so here we see Paul. Paul's had this amazing experience in heaven. He's got a wonderful revelation, right? And now he's got to move forward in the earth. And so, you know, in number 20 on the gift of faith, it says in Acts 18, 5 and 6, when Silas and Timothy were come down from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in his spirit. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said, "Your blood is upon your own heads. From henceforth, I'm going to go to the Gentiles." Now, we know that Paul still witnessed to the Jews. We talked about this new door of faith. All right? In fact, not only was there a new door of faith, but in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, this is important. Paul and Barnabas waxed confident or bold and said, "It's necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you," meaning Jews, "but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we're going to turn to the Gentiles." Now, what's happening with Paul? Here's a man that's had this revelation in the throne, and he doesn't even know whether he was there physically or not physically. And he's having all this revelation in order to assist the church. But there's constant warfare against him, constant attack because of what God gave him. And like I said, it was primarily for the Gentile church. And the Gentiles church calling is to the harvest of the nations. It's not so you could just have a little gathering and just sing Kumbaya, which nobody does anymore anyways. There's a purpose to your development. So here in Acts chapter 13, Paul says, hey, we're turning. So you're seeing the power of God, God's faith, right, coming on Paul. And now you're seeing this Jew of Jews. He's beginning to turn. And then we talked about a door of faith. And all of a sudden, now he's going through this door. And then by the time he goes through this door in Acts chapter 14, 27, then you're over in Acts 18, 5 and 6. And all of a sudden, you see this completed turn in Paul concerning his calling, his high calling to the Gentiles. Now, you know, when you read the book of Philippians, he talks about the high call of God. And there is a high call of God. And, you know, when you look at this, you see the importance of the power of God in assisting this man to make these turns, to make these adjustments, to get from one field into another. And that's the power of God. He didn't do this himself. Oh, I know Paul was a great guy, but he didn't do this himself. The Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out. Meaning, in Paul's life, we see this, all of a sudden, God's faith is on him, and he's beginning to turn to the Gentiles. And all of a sudden, he's going through this door, and then he's completely turning to this high calling. And you know, let me ask you, maybe that's the way it is in your life. Are you really pursuing the Lord in such a way? Are you where you should be? Is there a calling, a turning, where it's going to take the power of God to get you from where you are to where you need to be? And, you know, that's my prayer for my life. You know, there's stages of our life. There's stages of the ministry that we're called to. And so those stages all have different degrees of fruit and productivity. And so we see in this high calling. Now, we're getting back to the power of God, and in this case, the miracle-working power. But I'm trying to lay a foundation here to see your power and your glory. Paul had been caught up into heaven. He was receiving things from the Lord. Now down on the earth, that power of God was assisting him in turning, going through doors, and in a complete walking into a high calling. And so, you know, these are some interesting truths that we need to grab hold of as we approach this message on miracles. because when we talk about miracles, and we're going to get into it, but we're just going to go slow here. It's the power of God. God is a God of power, and that's why we started with David. He said, to see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary. Now, in order to kind of move on here, because we're talking about power and then miracles, of course, we've got to look at Isaiah chapter 40. You know, God is a God of power. David declared it. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says this. Now, this is, I don't know if you're ready. This is just one of my favorite passages. And when you read it, you're like, you just love this. Let's look at verse 25. So it's Isaiah 40, verse 25. And he says this, God is speaking. To whom then will you liken me, or shall be my equal, says the Holy One? And very powerful question. God knows there's no one compared to him at all, right? And so he puts the question out there. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who has created these things and brings out their host by number? He calls them all by names by the greatness of his might. Because he's strong in power, not one fails. Now, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgments passed over from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is he weary, neither is there any searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is a God of power. He's just putting it right there on Isaiah and upon the nation of Israel. Because, you know, there are times that we go through things. I've been, you know, in my life, I've had these times, and probably you have too, where you're like, God, you forgot about me. And where are you? I've really been in a bad place, and it's been a lot of warfare And you know, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do, and I just, where are you? And then God has an answer. He says, look up. And and there's just something about the stars, that God loves the stars, right? And it reminds me of, you know, Abraham. Abraham's kind of a little concerned here. God, you've made me these promises, but I don't have a son. And you know, in those tents, you know, Abraham lived in a tent, right? And, you know, there's usually a fire in your tent and a little bit of smoke. And probably Abraham had a lot of smoke in his eyes that night, and the Lord needed him to get some clear vision. Hey, Abraham, I want you to get out of the tent. You know, you got a little too much smoke in there tonight. And go outside, and I want you to look up. And as soon as Abraham obeyed and he went outside and looked up, all of a sudden he sees something. And all of a sudden God takes the beauty of creation and he begins to speak to Abraham's heart about the promise. And here in Isaiah, God is aiming us up. Look up. And he says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who's created these things? Meaning, how really bad is your problem? The God who created those stars and put all those, they're systems. I mean, think about it. Let's just slow down here. God puts all these stars into the heavens and he knows everyone by name. You know, we have names that we call the stars, you know. A lot of times they're numbers, right? But God has names for them. He created them. And then he created planets, solar systems. And so you look at our Earth, right? We're part of a system of other planets. And we're moving around the sun. You know, it takes 365 days. And there's a little bit of a leap year situation there. But it takes 365 days to go around the sun. But then around the Earth, there's a moon. And that moon is going around the Earth, right? And it's got a lot of different reasons why that moon is there working. But we set up our 12-month calendar based upon the moon going around us and then us going around the sun. And that's just one system. And God created all these stars, all of these galaxies, and it's just expanding. And he says, so let's really talk about how bad your problem really is when you start to see the power of God. Now, David says, hey, I was taken up into the throne room. I wasn't taken into outer space. I was taken into the third heaven. You know, Abraham, the Lord said, hey, Abraham, look up into the second heaven. I'm gonna change your life tonight by looking into the second heaven. Whereas David was taken up into the third heaven. And he saw the power and the majesty of God. And so God is trying to say, hey, listen, I need you to get a hold of yourself and keep believing and keep worshiping and pressing into, because in verse 29 he says he gives power to those who are tired, those who feel like you feel like you're going to faint, and to them that have no might he increases his strength. And so as we come to the end of this podcast, and like I said, we're going to be talking about miracles, but we're laying the foundation and we're talking about God's power. And that God's power is for you. He is for you. And we got to slow down and get you thinking outside of what you're going through and coming back to God, to who he is. He's the God who gives power to the faint. And he's got a lot of power. He's not going to hold it back. It's not based on your feelings. It's based on faith, trusting, not a feeling, moving forward. And in the first episode, we talk about that mountain, and there's going to be a time where that little ice cube, you're going to look at the ice cube and go, wow, I thought you were this huge, huge mountain floating out there like an iceberg, and now you're an ice cube. And you realize the power of God that brought you through, and that was nothing. So listen, That's enough for part two. And like I said, we're laying a foundation. We want to encourage you. Now, listen, go to our website. We finished the School of Acts. We have the second edition. Order that second edition. We also have the teachings under a tab called the School of Acts. And you can go through the different modules in there, and it's going to bless you. And other than that, you know, look at our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's a lot of information there. And pray for us. You know, we're carrying the cross. We're going into the nations with the gospel. Keep us in prayer, because this is the time to get the gospel out. Well, that's enough. Listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you.